Good morning, Merry Christmas, and Happy Holidays from all of us here at KINS. To celebrate it being Christmas Day, instead of Talk Shop, we will be presenting to you Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. To begin this story, Marley was as dead as a doornail. This must be understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I am about to tell. Scrooge never painted out old Marley's name. Though the company was known as Scrooge and Marley, he answered to both. It was all the same to him. Oh, Scrooge was a selfish old sinner, and he didn't thaw one degree at Christmas time. One dark Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. It was biting, foggy weather. Scrooge had a very small fire, but his corkscrow fire was barely warm.
"Merry Christmas, Uncle,"
Scrooge's nephew came into the room.
"Bah, humbug!"
"Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You surely don't mean that."
"If I could work my will," said Scrooge indignantly, "every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips shall be boiled with his own pudding."
The nephew answered,
"Please do not be angry, Uncle. Come for Christmas tomorrow."
"Bah, humbug!"
"Oh, why cannot we be friends?"
cried Scrooge's nephew.
"Merry Christmas, Uncle."
His nephew even stopped to wish Merry Christmas to the clerk.
"My clerk, 15 shillings a week and a wife and family, talking about a Merry Christmas. Humbug!"
Scrooge's nephew had let two other people in. They bowed to him.
"Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?"
said one of the gentlemen.
"Mr. Marley died 7 years ago this very night."
"Mr. Scrooge, a few of us are going to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. What would you like to give?"
"Nothing. They can go to debtor's prison."
"Many would rather die, sir."
"If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon."
Meanwhile, the fog and darkness and biting cold thickened. At length, the hour of shutting up arrived. Scrooge nodded to the clerk, who instantly snuffed out the candle and put on his hat.
"You will want all day tomorrow, I suppose?"
The clerk observed that it was only once a year.
"A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. Be here all the earlier next morning."
Scrooge went home to his gloomy house. The yard was dark, and the fog and frost hung about the house. Now the knocker on his door was very large and ordinary, but tonight, it strangely looked like the face of his old partner, Jacob Marley. The eyes were wide open, and its grayish color made it look horrible. As Scrooge took a closer look, it merely was a knocker. He looked carefully, but there was nothing behind the door, so he dismissed the thought and closed it, double-locking himself in. He walked through his rooms to see that all was right, and sat by the fire.
Humbug!
And then he heard it. A clanking noise from the cellar, as if some person were dragging a heavy chain. The cellar door flew open with a booming sound, and then he heard the noise coming up from the stairs. Then straight through the heavy door, and passed into the room before his eyes. It was Marley. The chain Marley pulled was long, made of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, and purses. His body was transparent, so that Scrooge could see the two buttons on his coat behind him.
"What do you want with me? Who are you?"
"In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley."
"Humbug, I say!"
At this, the spirit raised a frightful cry and shook its chain. Scrooge fell upon his knees.
"Do you believe in me or not?"
"I do," said Scrooge. "But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?"
"It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad amongst his fellow men. If that spirit does not go forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death."
"You are covered in chains. Why?"
"I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link, yard by yard, and I wear it of my own free will. Do you know your chain was as heavy as this 7 Christmas Eves ago? You have made it longer since then.
But you are always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind was my business. Kindness was my business. I am here tonight to warn you. You will be haunted by 3 spirits. Expect the first tomorrow, when the bell tolls 1. Expect the second on the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night at the last stroke of 12.
When it had said these words, the specter floated out upon the bleak, dark night. Scrooge examined the door by which the ghost had entered. It was still as he had double-locked with his own hands. As he retreated to his room, Scrooge tried to say humbug, but went to sleep. When Scrooge awoke, it was dark. The chimes from a nearby church struck the hour with a deep, melancholy 1. Light flashed up in the room, and the curtains of his bed were quickly drawn aside. Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. It was a strange figure, almost like a child. Its white hair hung about its neck and down its back, yet the face had not a single wrinkle in it. We will have more of the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol, when we come back right after this.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
And now it's time for us to return back to a retelling of the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol.
Foretold to me?
I am the ghost of Christmas past. Rise and come walk with me.
It put out its strong hand and clasped him gently by the arm. They passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road. Now it was a clear, cold winter day with snow upon the ground.
Good heavens, said Scrooge. Good heavens, I know this place. I grew up here when I was a boy.
He wiped away a tear and begged the ghost to lead him. They walked along the road, with Scrooge recognizing every single gate and tree, until a little town appeared in the distance. Some shaggy ponies trotted towards them with boys upon their backs. But why was Scrooge filled with gladness when he heard them tell each other Merry Christmas as they parted? What good had it ever done to him?
The school is not quite deserted. A lonely child is there still, neglected by his friends.
They soon approached a large house, its windows broken, and the many rooms cold and bare of food. They went to the back of the house to a room with desks. At one of these, a lonely boy was reading near a feeble fire, and Scrooge sat down beside his poor forgotten self as he used to be. The ghost smiled thoughtfully and waved its hand, saying as it did so,
"Come now, let us see another Christmas."
And there he was, alone again, with all the other boys had gone home for the holidays. The door opened, and a little girl came darting in, putting her arms around his neck.
Your sister was always a delicate creature, but she had a very large heart.
So she had. You are indeed right, Spirit.
She died a woman, and had, I think, 1 child. Your nephew.
All at once they were in a busy city. Here, too, it was Christmas time again, but it was evening, and the streets were all lit up. The ghost stopped at a warehouse door and asked Scrooge if he knew it.
"Do I know it? I was an apprentice here as a young man."
At the sight of an old gentleman behind his desk, Scrooge cried out in great excitement,
"Why, bless his heart, it's Fezziwig, alive and well."
Scrooge's former self, now a young man, came in beside his fellow apprentice. Old Fezziwig laid down his pen and looked upon the clock.
"Would you look at the time? No more work tonight, my boys. 'Tis Christmas Eve. Dick, Ebenezer, clear everything away."
It was done in a minute. The floor was swept, the lamps were trimmed, fuel was heaped upon the fire, and the warehouse became a snug, warm, and bright ballroom. In came a fiddler with Mrs. Fezziwig and the three Miss Fezziwigs. In came all the young men and women employed in the business. There were dancing, games, cake and roast beef with mince pies and plenty of ale. During all this time, Scrooge had acted like a man out of his wits. He enjoyed every single second of it. Now that he remembered the ghost, he became conscious that it was looking full upon him.
"A small matter to make these silly folks so full of gratitude."
"Small? It isn't that spirit. He has the power to make our work a pleasure or toil. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune."
Again Scrooge saw himself. He was much older now. He was not alone, but sat by a pretty young girl. He could remember the words she spoke to him, sadly mentioning how his love for her had been replaced by his love for money.
"Spirit, show me no more. I cannot bear it. Leave me. Take me away. Haunt me no longer."
He was aware of being exhausted and of being in his own bedroom. He had barely time to reel to bed before he sank into a heavy sleep. When the bell struck one, he saw a ghostly light coming from the next room. A strange voice called out to him by name and bade him enter.
"Come in and know me better."
The room was hung with holly and mistletoe, and a mighty blaze went roaring up the chimney. Heaped up like a throne were geese, pies, plum puddings, chestnuts, oranges, pears, cakes, and punch. Upon this food couch there sat a jolly giant who held a glowing torch high up to shed its light upon Scrooge.
"I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me."
Scrooge reverently did so. It was clothed in a green robe bordered with white fur. Its feet were bare, and on its head it wore a holly wreath set here and there with shining icicles.
"You have never seen the like of me before,"
exclaimed the spirit.
"Spirit, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night and learnt a lesson which is working now. If you have anything to teach me tonight, let me profit by it."
"Then touch my robe."
The feast, fire, and room all vanished instantly, and they stood in the city streets on a snowy Christmas morning. The sky was gloomy, and yet was there an air of cheerfulness abroad like a summer day. Soon the steeples called the people to church, and away they came, flocking through the streets in their best clothes and with their happiest faces. The good spirit led him straight to Scrooge's clerks, holding to his robe, and at the door the spirit smiled and stopped to bless Bob Cratchit's dwelling. As the Christmas meal was brought to the table and the dishes were set on, Bob Cratchit began saying grace and proposed a toast for everyone to have a Merry Christmas and to God bless everyone, including Scrooge himself. Scrooge, who had taken a great interest in Tiny Tim after seeing him carrying a crutch, turned to the spirit and said,
"Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live."
"I see a vacant seat in the corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will surely die this year."
"Oh, no, 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 no," said Scrooge. "No, kind spirit. Please say that he will be spared."
"If he be like to die, he had better do it and decrease the surplus population."
Scrooge hung his head, ashamed to hear his own words repeated by the ghost. And now they traveled through coal miners' homes, past ships on the dark sea. Scrooge heard a hearty laugh and recognized it as his own nephew's. He found himself in a bright, gleaming room, with the spirit standing smiling by his side. Scrooge watched his nephew and his guests play games and music throughout the night. He begged like a boy to be allowed to stay until all the guests had departed, but the spirit said it could not be done. Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol, when we come back right after this.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
It's time for us to once again return to A Christmas Carol, originally written by Charles Dickens. The bell struck 12 and the spirit disappeared. As the last stroke ceased to vibrate, Scrooge remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting up his eyes, beheld a solemn phantom, draped and hooded, approaching him.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come? Am I correct that you are about to show me shadows of the things that will happen?
Scrooge's legs trembled beneath him as the spirit did not reply.
I fear you more than any specter I have seen before, but I know of your purpose. Will you not speak to me? Lead on, spirit. The night is precious time to me, I know. Lead on, spirit.
They were in the heart of the city, amongst the merchants who hurried up and down the streets with money in their pockets. The spirit stopped beside one little knot of businessmen. Scrooge advanced to listen to their talk. Scrooge recognized the men and looked towards the spirit for an explanation. He felt the unseen eyes looking at him very closely. After hearing them talk, Scrooge was startled, for the scene had changed, and now he almost touched a bed, a bare, uncurtained bed, on which beneath a ragged sheet there lay the body of a man. He lay in the dark, empty house with no one to say that he was kind to me in this or that. The ghost conducted him to poor Bob Cratchit's house and found the mother and children seated around the fire. They were very quiet, for the little Cratchits were as still as statues in one corner of the room. Scrooge heard the voice of his nephew, Fred, consoling Mr. Cratchit.
Spectre, tell me what man that was whom we saw lying dead.
The ghost of Christmas yet to come still did not answer, but led him straight on until they reached a churchyard. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed down to one in particular.
Just answer me one question. Are these the shadows of the things that will be?
He followed the finger and read upon the stone of the grave. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, no, no. No, 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 spirit. No. Hear me. I am not the man I was. Why show me this if I am past all hope?
Cried Scrooge, tightly clutching at its robe.
Oh, good spirit, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone.
In his agony, Scrooge caught the spectral hand. The phantom's hood and dress shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into a bedpost. And the bedpost was his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own as well. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own to make amends in.
I will live in the past, present, and the future. All the spirits of all three shall strive within me. Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven and the Christmas time be praised for this. I say it on my knees, Jacob.
He had rushed into the sitting room and was now standing there, perfectly winded.
There's the door by which the ghost of Marley entered. There's the corner where the ghost of Christmas present sat. It's all true. It all actually happened.
Rushing to the window, he opened it and put out his head. No fog or mist. It was a clear, bright, and cold day with golden sunlight. Scrooge called downward to a boy in Sunday clothes.
"What is today, my fine fellow?"
the boy replied.
"Why, it is Christmas."
"It is Christmas. I haven't missed it."
Conclusion of the Charles Dickens classic A Christmas Carol right after this.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Let's finish up with this retelling of the Charles Dickens Christmas classic, A Christmas Carol.
The spirits have done it all in one night. They can do anything. Of course they can. Of course. Hello, my fine fellow. Do you know of the poultry shop in the next street at the corner?
The lad replied,
I should hope I do.
An intelligent and remarkable boy. Do you know whether they have sold the prize turkey hanging up in the window?
Why, it is hanging there now,
replied the boy. Good. Go out and buy it. Tell them to bring it here, that I may give them the direction where to take it. Come back with the man and I will give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes and I shall give you half of a crown. I will send it to Bob Cratchit's. He shan't know who will send it. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim.
As the boy returned with the turkey, Scrooge cried out,
Why, it's impossible to carry that to Camden Town. You must have a cab.
Chuckling all the while, as he paid for the turkey and the cab for the boy to send the turkey to the Cratchits, Scrooge sat back down into his chair and continued to chuckle to himself until he cried. He then dressed himself all in his best and at last went out into the streets. The people were by this time pouring forth, as he had seen them with the ghost of Christmas present, and Scrooge regarded everyone with a delighted smile. Three or four good-humored fellows said, Good morning to you, sir. A Merry Christmas. Scrooge said often afterwards that of all the happy sounds he had ever heard, those had been the happiest in his ears. He had not gotten too far when coming out towards him, he beheld the gentleman who had walked into his counting house just the day before. It sent a pain across his heart to think how this old gentleman would look upon him when they met, but he knew what path lay straight before him, and he took it.
My dear sir, how do you do? I hope you succeeded yesterday. It was very kind of you to come by. A Merry Christmas to you, sir. Allow me to ask your pardon, and will you have the goodness to allow me to hand you?
And Scrooge whispered into the man's ear.
Lord bless me, my dear Mr. Scrooge, are you serious?
If you please, not a farthing less. A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you. Will you do me that favor?
Oh, my stars. My dear sir, I simply do not know what to say.
Then do not say anything, please. A Merry Christmas to you, sir.
And walked about the streets, watching the people hurrying to and fro. Scrooge had never dreamed that anything could give him so much happiness. In the afternoon, he turned his steps towards his nephew's house. He passed the door roughly a dozen times before getting the courage to go up and knock. After hearing the servant girl say that his nephew was in the dining room and offering to take him there, Scrooge politely declined, saying,
He knows of me. I shall go in here myself, my dear. Fred, it is I, your Uncle Scrooge. I have come for dinner. Will you let me in, Fred?
It was a mercy that Fred did not shake his uncle's arm off. He was at home within 5 minutes. Nothing could be heartier. Wonderful party, wonderful games, wonderful happiness. But he was early at the office the next morning. Oh, he was early there. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming in late. That was the thing he had set his heart upon. And he did it. Oh, yes, he did. The clock struck 9. Then a quarter passed. He was full 18 minutes and a half behind his time. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come in. His hat was off before he opened the door. He was on a stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock. "Hullo," in his accustomed voice, as near as he could feign it. "What do you mean by coming here at this time of the day?"
"I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time."
"Yes, I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you please."
"It is only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir."
"Now I'll tell you what. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. Therefore, I am about to raise your salary, my friend."
Bob trembled. He had a momentary idea of knocking down Scrooge, holding him, and calling to the people in the court for help in a strait waistcoat.
"A Merry Christmas to you, Bob. A merrier Christmas, my good fellow, than I have given you for many a year. I shall raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family. We will discuss your affairs this very afternoon."
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more, and to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was like a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he allowed them to laugh. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. He had no further meetings with spirits afterwards, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
We hope you've enjoyed this special presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Have a very Merry Christmas.